Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
People need to be careful about the way they treat believers. In Psalm 105 and 15, God says, "Touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm." In Zechariah 2 and 8, it says, "For he who touches you touches the apple of my eye." The apple of the eye is the pupil. Don't put your finger in God's eye and think you're going to walk away with a hand. You're going to walk away at least with a nub. I don't know if you lose your whole arm. You may lose the whole side of your body. And that looks weird. Just having one side, one eye, one half a nose. Don't try it. Don't try it. But what is God talking about? God is saying, he who touches you is trying to put their finger in my eye. Don't try it. In Deuteronomy 28 and 7, it says, "The Lord will conquer your enemies when they attack you. They may attack in one direction, but they are going to run in seven different directions scared." Now, I'm going to say it again, folks. Listen, when you need help, you don't ask the angels to help you, but you ask God to send his angels to assist you. In fact, prayer and intercession releases them to act on your behalf. See, you've got to go to God, and then God will release them because they're really working. They're on his payroll, not yours. You don't have enough money to pay the angels. Only God can pay them. God delivered Daniel from the lion's den because he prayed. He prayed all night long. And when the king came and said, "Daniel, you still alive down there? Did your God deliver you?" He said, "Oh, yes, king. The Lord sent an angel. He shut the lion's mouth. I had a good night's sleep." The apostle Peter was delivered from prison by an angel, and certain death was going to come upon him. But when the church prayed and interceded for them, I won't even get into the church. But they prayed and interceded for him. The Bible says that God told the angel, "Go and get him out of prison. The people are praying for that guy." Acts chapter 12 and 4, it says, "Herod imprisoned Peter, placing him under the guard of four quadrants of soldiers." That's 16 soldiers. He wanted to make sure he couldn't get out. Because really, if you read the book of Acts, many times when they locked the Christians up, the angels would go and let them out and say, "Preach on, keep on preaching. I like the sermon you preached the other day. Keep on preaching." And because of that, now Herod says, "We're going to get 16 soldiers. We're going to make sure this guy can't get out." The Bible says there was supposed to be a public trial after Passover where he wanted to kill Peter. But while Peter was in prison, the church prayed for him earnestly. The Bible says the night before Peter was to be placed on trial. God is never early. Don't you love that about God? The night before he's supposed to go to the chopping block. Then God does something about it. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but listen, folks, God generally is not early, but he will always show up on time. And you know what? God's time is not even our time, because a man died and was dead for 4 days, and Jesus came and he rose from the dead. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to tell you it's never over. Some people say it's not over till the fat lady sinks. With God, it's never over. Because he can do the impossible. The Bible says that night Peter was asleep and fastened with two chains between two soldiers. He was actually attached by chains to soldiers. And the others stood guard at the prison gate and along the way. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and the angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side and woke him up and said, "Get up, quick." And the chains just fell off his wrist. And the angel told him, "Get dressed, put on your sandals." And Peter did. He said, "Now put on your coat." Why is it that an angel has to tell you to just do basic things? You know, the Bible tells us that people are really afraid when they see angels. In this case, Peter thought he was sleeping. So with everything that happened, the light, he's just staring at the light. The angel says, okay, quick, come on, get up. He stands up. The chains come off his wrist. He's just staring. And he's looking at the light. He's looking at the angel. The angel says, would you get dressed? Put on your sandals. Peter looked over. They have my sandals. There, I got a angel, your left foot, then your right foot, Peter. He's still looking at the light. See, the Bible says that people are terrified when they see angels. It kind of takes you by surprise. And most places it says that people fall down like they're dead when they see an angel. In this case, Peter just act like he lost his mind and couldn't do all of these things. Well, Peter followed him out of the cell and he was saved. Now, I want you to remember this, that angelic protection may cause you problems when you disobey God. I'm kind of winding this up now. I have so much more to tell you, but I need to tell you this because this goes back to our text. You remember what God said. God said, listen to the angel. He won't tolerate disobedience. So I want you to remember that angelic protection may cause you problems when you disobey God. Now listen, God has given you a protector, a divine protector, but you must stay in sync with him. You do this by obeying God's word. Through disobedience, God may allow your protector to become your persecutor. Disobedience has consequences. I know you don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear, hey, if I do the wrong thing, something bad is going to happen to me. Most people say something bad may happen to me. Listen, if you disobey God, something bad will happen to you. You don't have to wonder. The Bible tells us it will. Disobedience has consequences. Now, I want to give you a scripture to back up what I'm trying to say to you here. Balaam was a prophet, and he asked God, should he curse the children of Israel for the king of Moab? Moab is Jordan today in the Middle East. This is found in Numbers chapter 22 and 12, if you want to find the story later on and read it for yourself. God told Balaam the prophet, do not go with them. You are not to curse these people because they're blessed. Folks, no one can curse you if you're a child of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm going to say this, though. If you go dabbling around in witchcraft, you'll bring a curse on yourself. Did you hear what I said? Nobody can curse you, but when you disobey God, you bring a curse on yourself. Never forget what I just said to you. The next morning, Balaam got up, and he told the king's officials, look, just go home. The Lord told me I can't go with you. So what did the king do? He offered Balaam great wealth and riches. So much wealth and so much riches that even though God said, don't do this, that Balaam said, well, you know what? That's a lot of money. I need to go back and see if God will change his mind. Maybe I can make some of it an offering or a tithe or something. And I can keep some of this money. Balaam approached God again. Now, folks, before you think bad of Balaam, many of you still ask God for something when you know he already said no. Look at the person next to you and say, I know he's not talking about you. See, many of us, we pray and we pray and we pray, and God says, no. You say, well, what do you mean? You go, you want to go through that door. You want to do what you want to do, and the door won't open. You're trying to beat it down. Finally, you get the fireman's axe, and you're praying, oh, God, open that door. I want to marry that guy. I'm going to marry that girl. Open that door. I'm going to take that job. God, open the door now. Come on. Open the door. Now, I just want to say something to you. Just because at some point in time that door may just open on its own accord, you are crazy to go through it. Because all that time, you kind of know in your heart God is saying no, but all that time you've been beating on the door and crying out to God, and now it just opens? Well, I'm going to say to you, I let you go through, but I'm standing on the other side. I'll just watch and see what happens. Now, God was kind of upset with Balaam, and I'm going to be honest, God is upset with us. When we push an issue, when he says, don't do it, God is upset with you. He really is. You want to know why? Because he has a plan. The plan was written before you were born. You are messing with God's plan. And it's a good plan. And it's a perfect plan. And it's working for your good. And you still want to push God and say, but I want to do it my way. Well, then that door can just open all by itself. This is kind of what happened to Balaam. You'll see what I mean. Balaam had said to them, listen, stay here one more night. I'll see if the Lord changes his mind. Maybe he'll say something else. That night, God said to Balaam, since these men have come to you and they haven't left yet, although I told you they need to leave, okay, go with them. So the next morning, Balaam was so excited because he could see wealth and riches in his house. The Bible does say wealth and riches is in the righteous house. He said, wealth and riches shall be in my house. I'm going to lead. I'm going to lead them, and I'm going to curse the Israelites. God changed his mind. The Bible says he sat on his donkey. He sat on it. And he went off to see the Moabite officials. But verse 22 says, but God was angry. God was angry that Balaam was going. Now, I just read to you, God said, okay, you can go. All right, you can go. What he didn't realize, what God was saying was, bye-bye. Bye-bye, problem, never see you again. Bye-bye. He thought God was saying, okay, I changed my mind. But the Bible tells us when God was angry that he was still going. So he sent the angel to stand in the road to block his way. Now, God is so kind. Folks, when God sends an angel to block your way, it can mean one of two things. That he's given you more time to come to your senses, or he's about to see you face to face.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve. Don't minimize how God is going to direct your life and what you are capable of accomplishing. You know, the Bible says God is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and think. To know God's direction, you must surrender to his will and to his plan. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
When God sends an angel to block your way, it can mean one of two things. That he's given you more time to come to your senses, or he's about to see you face to face. I'll prove it to you. Balaam persisted, and he was going forward. And if he had, that angel would have killed him. Let me read the rest of the story. Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. The donkey bolted up the road into a field, but Balaam beat it and turned it back onto the road. God allows animals to see angels at times. How many of you ever seen an animal just looking up like this? And you don't see anything. Maybe your little dog or your cat. Like that. They look there and they look at you. See, the angel knows what you don't know sometimes. They can't talk. But their eyes are very expressive. Well, you want to go out? You want some food? Maybe you want some water. But then when they disappear, you know. They were seeing something there. Balaam beat his donkey because he started going in the wrong direction. Then the angel of the Lord stood at the place that it was so narrow in the road that there was no way for the donkey to avoid him. The Bible says, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it tried to squeeze by the angel and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So Balaam hit the donkey again. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Balaam's protector had become his persecutor. Now, guys, listen. This is not just the story I'm telling you, because the Word of God really was written to apply to us today. This angel, and you have angels, or at least one guardian angel, became his persecutor when he decided to disobey God. I hope you're listening to me. This time when the donkey saw the angel, he laid down right on the ground. Boom! And in a fit of rage, Balaam began to beat the animal again and again with his staff. Now listen to this. Then the Lord gave the donkey a voice. He gave him the ability to speak. And the donkey said to Balaam, "What have I done that deserves you beating me three times?" he asked Balaam. Balaam refused to obey God, so he allowed a donkey to speak to him and warn him. Let me ask you a question. When you have prayed and sense that there's something wrong in what you're doing, your donkey may be speaking to you. Your donkey may be telling you, don't go down that road. You don't need to be doing this. Because you know such and such and such and such. You know God told you. You know what happened before. Why would you jump right into another situation like this? Why would you just go and do the same thing you got yourself out of? Why is it the same profile for the same person you just left? See, your donkey may be talking to you. But you just keep beating it. I don't want to hear that. This is different. Hey, I've been praying. That's not going to happen again. Boom. Look, shut up. Boom, 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 boom. Your donkey may be talking to you. God allowed the donkey to speak. And Balaam spoke back to the donkey. He said, well, listen, I'm beating you because you made me look like a fool. How do you look right now, Balaam? Talking to an animal. Balaam shouted, if I had had a sword with me, I would have killed you. The donkey said, but I am the same donkey that you've ridden all your life. Have I ever done anything like this before? Balaam admitted, no. This is the first time you were a bad donkey. You've always been a good donkey. But now you're a bad donkey. Why are you being a bad donkey when you've always been a good donkey? The Bible says, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel ahead of him standing in the roadway with a sword, swinging it back and forth. So Balaam bowed his head to the ground and put his face down on the ground before him. God, in his mercy, allows Balaam to see his judgment for disobeying him. Now the angel speaks to him. And the angel says, why did you beat your donkey those three times? I've come to block your way because you stubbornly resisted me. Now, this is the angel talking. Are you listening to me? The angel said, because you are stubbornly resisting me. Three times the donkey saw me and shied away. Otherwise, I would have certainly killed you by now. This is not a fairy tale. Are you guys hearing me? This is not a fairy tale. God wants you to get something out of this. You cannot disobey without consequences. People say he suddenly died. I guess so. Well, this suddenly happened to him. I don't understand. They were such a good Christian. Maybe, maybe not. Because the same angel that protects you can become your persecutor when you disobey God. And guess what? Angels don't leave you. That joke about angels jumping off your car when you go a certain speed limit, that ain't so. They stay with you if you're a Christian. Are you following me? They are your protector or they become your persecutor based upon do you obey the living God? Look at the person next to you and say, oh, this is a good sermon. Then Balaam confessed to the angel and he said, I've sinned. I didn't realize that you were standing in the road to block my way. I'll go back home if you let me. I tell you what, I'll just go back home. You can put the sword away. I'll just go back. I'll just go back home. Let's forget the whole thing. I repent. Now, again, I want you to remember the instruction that the Lord gave the children of Israel. I'm going to read it to you. He said, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey. God sends an angel with each of us to protect our life's purpose and mission. He will lead you safely to the place that I've prepared for you. God has already set up a place of success for you. God is positioning you for success. God says, however, pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. What are those instructions? They come right out of this word. It come right out of this word. How do you stay in sync with your angel? You follow this word. How do you train your dragon? I don't know. Some of you got that. The rest of it just went right over your head. Pay close attention to him and obey his instructions. They come from the word of God. Do not rebel against him. Why? Because he's my representative. And he will not forgive your rebellion. Now, it's up to God to forgive us ultimately, but I'm just really trying to tell you, you're going to be in trouble with your protector. In every age, God sends an angel to protect the purpose of his children. Nothing can defeat an angel's determination to protect you except disobedience.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Today's message is part two of Angels Watching Over Me. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
If you've never received Jesus Christ into your heart or would like to renew your relationship with him, pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I am sorry for them and I forsake them now. I invite you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Your word says, if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I will be saved. I do believe and I do confess that Jesus is the Son of God. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. Thank you. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer with me, then Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior.
And I want to encourage you to continue to seek God by talking to Him as your best friend. Read the Bible. Trust God for all of your needs. He's always there with you. God bless you, and keep listening to A Place to Grow.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.